The box was 12 inches square, 5 inches deep, white in color with red and blue stars and stripes. It was a gift package from Bolin Pecan Farm in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, sent to Mrs. Maxine Root by her sister in Concord, California. An Independence Day gift of real American pecans. It came by mail, delivered by the postman around noon, placed in the mailbox of Maxine Root, then hauled inside past the lone sentry sitting under a tree in the front yard and into the kitchen where Maxine first saw it. It had been almost a month since Sheriff McNatt had quizzed her about her vote on the jury. She had reluctantly admitted that she had not been in favor of the death penalty for Danny Padgett, and she recalled that the two men who stuck with her were Lenny Farguson and Mo Teal. Since they were now dead, McNatt had delivered the grave news that she might be the next victim. For years after the trial, Maxine had wrestled with the verdict. The town was bitter over it, and she felt the hostility. Thankfully, the jurors kept their vows of silence, and she and Lenny and Mo avoided any additional abuse. With the soothing passage of time, she had been able to distance herself from the aftermath. Now the world knew how she had voted. Now a crazy man was stalking her. She was on leave from her job as a bookkeeper. Her nerves were shot. She couldn't sleep. She was sick of hiding in her own home, sick of a yard full of neighbors gathering every night as if it was time for a social event, sick of ducking under every window. She was taking so many different pills that they were all counteracting each other to the point that nothing worked. She saw the box of pecans and started crying. Someone out there loved her. Her precious sister Jane was thinking about her. Oh, how she had loved to be in California with Jane at that very moment. Maxine started to open the package, then had a thought. She went to the phone and dialed Jane's number. They had not talked in a week. Jane was at work, thrilled to hear from her. They chatted about this and that, then about the horrible situation in Clanton. "You're a dear to send the pecans," Maxine said. "What pecans?" Jane asked. A pause. "The gift box from Bolin Pecans down in Hazelhurst. A big one, 3 pounds. Another pause. "Not me, sis. Must have been someone else." Maxine hung up moments later and examined the box. A sticker on the front said, "A gift from Jane Parham." Of course, she knew of no other Jane Parhams. Very gently, she picked it up. It seemed a bit heavy for a 3-pound tin of pecans. Travis, the part-time deputy, happened by the house. He was accompanied by one Teddy Ray, a pimple-faced boy with an oversized uniform and a service revolver that he had never fired. Maxine hustled them into the kitchen, where the red, white, and blue box sat benignly on the counter. The lone sentry was also tagging along, and for a long minute or so, the four of them just stared at the package. Maxine recounted verbatim her conversation with Jane. With great hesitation, Travis picked up the box and shook it slightly.
"Seems a mite heavy for pecans," he observed.
He looked at Teddy Ray, who'd already gone pale, and at the neighbor with a rifle, who seemed ready to duck at anything.
"You think it's a bomb?" the neighbor asked.
"Oh, my God!"
Maxine mumbled and appeared ready to collapse.
"Could be,"
Travis said, then gawked down in horror at what he was holding.
"Get it outside," Maxine said.
"Shouldn't we call the sheriff?"
Teddy Ray managed to ask.
"I guess so," Travis said. "What if it's got a timer or something?" asked the neighbor.
Travis hesitated for a moment, then with the voice of absolutely no experience said,
"I know what to do."
They stepped through the kitchen door onto a narrow porch that ran the length of the rear of the house. Travis carefully placed the box at the very edge, 3 feet or so above the ground. When he removed his .44 Magnum, Maxine said,
"What are you doing?"
"We're going to see if it's a bomb," Travis said.
Teddy Ray and the neighbor scurried off the porch and took up a safe position in the grass about 50 feet away.
"You going to shoot my pecans?"
Maxine asked.
"You got a better idea?" Travis snapped back.
"I guess not."
With most of his body inside the kitchen, Travis leaned out through the screen door with his thick right arm and his rather large head and took aim. Maxine was right behind him, crouching low and peeking around his waist. The first shot missed the porch entirely, though it took the breath out of Maxine. Teddy Ray shouted, "Nice shot!" and he and the neighbor had a quick laugh. Travis aimed and fired again. The explosion ripped the porch completely from the house, tore a gaping hole in the back wall behind the kitchen, and sprayed shrapnel for 100 yards. It shattered windows, peeled up planks, and it wounded the 4 observers. Teddy Ray and the neighbor both took bits of metal in their chests and legs. Travis's right arm and his firing hand were mangled. Maxine was hit 2 times in the head. 1 piece of glass ripped off the lobe of her right ear, and a small nail penetrated her right jaw. For a moment, they were all unconscious, knocked silly by 3 pounds of plastic explosives packed with nails, glass, and ball bearings.